Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a Mouse Clubhouse conversation.
Hi, this is Scott Wolf, and this conversation is with John Doc Anello. John was discovered by Disney while playing a gig at the Disneyland Hotel, and he was soon hired as a production manager, providing quality assurance for all Disneyland entertainment venues and making sure they were up and running smoothly. After production manager, John became the education program director, and in that position, he helped put together the Fun with Music show for Disneyland, a personal favorite topic of mine. The show was never seen by the public, but it delighted kids who visited on school field trips. In preparing this intro, I called Ron Logan, who had been the head of live entertainment for the entire Disney company, and you can hear his interview on my Mouse Clubhouse website as well. Ron had nothing but great things to say about John. He told me not only was John a very interesting guy, but he was very astute. He was a doctor. In fact, that's how he got the nickname Doc, because he had a doctorate in jazz education. John had grown up as a saxophone player, and he was a singer and bandleader going back to the 1940s. Ron said that John knew every aspect of the entertainment business because he was actively in it. Ron worked with John on various educational programs, and John officially took over the All-American College program that Ron had started. The All-American Band and All-American Singers performed in the park as part of the program, but John took it into being an apprentice program, where they got the head of the union in the U.S. to okay having this program, where they could use musicians in the summertime and only pay them 75% of scale if they educated them. And educate them they did. They had classes and workshops, and they brought in top names in the entertainment business to do talks for them. Part of that deal, Ron said, was the idea that these kids were to be educated and then they would go into the entertainment business and they would therefore be going to join the union. Ron said, we never made them join the union, but they all did. So it was a great relationship between industry and education, and John was really good at that. He had both sets of skills. In 2000, Ron was concerned that the history of Disney Live Entertainment might become lost, so he convinced John to go to Florida with his wife. He paid him to spend a year there and help write a book. They worked together on it, and John did many of the interviews, hours and hours of interviews, to ensure that it was a very factual history. Ron told me, John was a perfectionist at what he did, and I'm somewhat that way too, Ron said. So we really hit it off. But he was a nice guy. He told the truth. He was educated, knowledgeable, just a great guy. After retiring, John decided to put a big band back together, and he ended up performing at Disneyland's historic Carnation Plaza Gardens. In this conversation from 2010, John invited me backstage between sets, so you'll hear it get a little noisy with the band members of his Doc Anello and the Swing Machine. Here's John Doc Anello.
I had had a band before I came to work for Disney. I came to work for Disney in 1975. I was a production manager for entertainment, which was basically making sure everything was set up for the, you know, the day, morning and also the evening things. And I did that for my first year here. And then the second year I was here, I took over the All-American College program. And I ran that from 1976 until 1980. Then I left and I went to teach college at College of the Desert. Okay. In Palm Desert. And I was there from 1980 until 1988. And then I decided I had enough college because I had done what I wanted to do. I had a performing group and we traveled. We went to all over the United States. We went to Hawaii. We did, you know, all kinds of events. So. And then I decided, you know, I was going to kick back and start my band again, which I did in 1989, I guess it was. And Stan Freeze was working, you know, here, and I said, Stan, I've got the band. So we started playing here, and I've been here ever since, just playing the one night a month. But ever since then. And that's been fun, too. So I've never really lost my connection. I did a lot of, I wrote a book for Ron Logan, he and I worked on that. I lived in Florida for a year.
Yeah, I doubt it.
And, just for the book?
I was doing that, and I was doing we were trying to do some intern programs because we have great ideas. It's just that it's kind of difficult to sell it to the people who make the decisions. Yeah. I worked with a couple of choreographers. We were trying to develop some new program, which was very, very similar to what would be, you know, Dancing with the Stars kind of thing. Except we were doing, we had an idea to do it in as many states as we could find that would support the idea, and we knew we were going to be able to do it in maybe 15 to 20 states to start. And once they get rolling, you know, but the man who was the president at Walt Disney World was a musician, and he was very interested in what we were doing.
But it worked on my ticket, but,
the way things happen. I was working on this thing with George in Florida, and we were going to present it to the guy who was the president at the time. And my wife became very ill. In fact, she ultimately passed away from it. And I couldn't get back there. I had to be home. So I called and I said, George, I can't get back. I said, but you go ahead and show and make the presentation. Well, you know, when you've got two or three people working on a project, you know, you need to have everybody there to, you know, because what someone forgets, somebody else remembers, and you know how that works. So anyway, he saw it, but he didn't catch fire. It never happened. But had that happened, I think we would have had a whole new, entirely new program going today, way before Dancing with the Stars. Right. It may not have been the same thing, because Dancing with the Stars is something else again. But it would have been something special. Just never could get it through, you know. There are people who make decisions, and maybe, you know, they know better than us, you know, what they want to get involved with, you know. But anyway, so I did that. I virtually, at that point, I said, I didn't want to teach because I'd done that. And I didn't really want to get into management again because I'd done that. So I decided what I wanted to do was really play, you know, because that was really my first love. I'd been playing since I was playing. I started playing professionally when I was like 15, and then that was in New Jersey. So that's when I really started the band again. We came back here, started playing on Saturday nights, and we've been here ever since, really. Just one night a month, but it's nice because, you know, the band stays together at least one night a month. And then I have a trio and quartet, and, you know, so we're busy doing other stuff like that. Anyway, that was kind of my encapsulated history of Disney. It's been a great association, and I'm fortunate because I've got really wonderful musicians. They're all really good players, and they've all got backgrounds with other bands. Jim played with the Glenn Miller Band. Fred's played with a half a dozen bands sort of here in the back east. Pat played with Jimmy Dorsey, Tommy Dorsey, Charlie Barnett. Larry was the band leader of the Sunshine Balloon. Remember the Sunshine Balloon?
Sunshine Balloon.
They changed their name several times. Started here in 69. So it was through the 70s and early 80s through 84.
Here at the park? Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It was called the Soundcastle, and then they changed it to Sunshine Balloon.
You played over at the other, the stage that comes out of the ground.
Were you hired by Sonny at that time?
Yeah.
Everybody's been hired by Sonny.
Because it was so, I guess. Yeah.
I met Sonny, I was in California for maybe a couple of years, 3 to 4 years, and I was teaching school, percentual music. And I played, there was a band leader who used to play at the Disneyland Hotel, Bernie Bernard. And he played upstairs at that time they had the room up in the Disneyland Hotel. And you could overlook and look out at the park from there. Anyway, Bernie wanted somebody who knew how to play an Italian wedding. And so somebody recommended me. And he said, can you do an Italian wedding? I said, yeah. I said, I think I could do it. And then 100 in, you know, in New Jersey. So, anyway, I went there, and it turned out to be a lot of fun. I did a couple of songs. And Sonny was the drummer. So we're on intermission. He said, who are you? So I never saw, you know, Sonny knew everybody. You know, he said, I've never run across you. So I said, well, and I told him where I came from and how long I'd been out here. He said, you know, he said, we're looking for somebody for the hotel, Disneyland Hotel. So I want you to meet my boss. So he arranged an interview with Bob Yanni. At the time, they were trying to make it work with Jack, whoever owned the hotel. And so that didn't work out. So I left. I went back to teaching for a year. And the following June, I get a phone call from Bob Yanni, and he said, his favorite service, we need to get together and chat, you know. So I went in, and Sonny was ill. He was in the hospital, and he was, you know, they were worried about him. So Bob said, I need somebody to kind of do stuff here, you know, that Sonny would do. And so I came in and did it kind of, I took a leave of absence from school and worked there for a year. And the following year, that was 1975, 76 was the bicentennial. And so Bob said, I really could use you for the bicentennial. And it worked because we had the big parade.
All
the,
yeah.
I had taken a leave of absence from Placentia. And the superintendent of the schools was a friend of mine. So I went to him and I got the first year's leave of absence. And I went back. I said, John, I said, they're going to do the bicentennial and they want me to stay on for another year. He said, Take it. I'll get somebody to cover you. You know? So I was on leave of absence for 2 years. But then at the end of the second year, I said, I really want to stay here. You know, I don't want to go back to school.
Yeah.
So I talked to him, and he understood. That was fine. So anyway, that's how I really got started here. And it was been great. It was great working with Bob Yanni. He was a genius, I think. And there's, you learn a lot from people like that here, because they think creatively, they know what they're doing, they know how to do it, you know, and all kinds of things. I remember he took us out to near Palm Springs to look at fireworks. He said, I've got these new fireworks from China. He said, I want you to, you know, look at it. And we went out there and he had all these fireworks, you know, asking us what would you like and what you didn't like. And eventually he put them into the show here, you know. I took over the college program, the All-American College program. Now it's the All-American College Marching Band. And they're here in the summer for 12 weeks. But back then, we had the All-American College Marching Band and the All-American College Singers and Dancers.
Oh, really?
So there was a stage, and we would do a... We'd have the singers and dancers on that stage. They do a show, and the marching band would march around. But they were play... It was like a marching swing band. Because everything they played was swing music. We also had a group in Florida. In order to get them, I would set up an audition tour, and we would go anywhere from 12 to 15 states for 1977, 78, 79, and 80. And we traveled around right after Christmas, fighting snow, fighting the cold weather. We were in Chicago, I remember. We had gotten to Chicago, and we auditioned in Chicago, and we were going to fly to Ohio and do an audition at University of Ohio, I think it was that. And we finished the audition, and it started to snow. We were staying right across the street from the water tower in Chicago, and we're up on the maybe 25th floor, something like that. It was a very tall building, a hotel. And my wife called me. She said, look out the window. The snow is going up. And I said, what? The wind was so bad.
Oh,
the snow was blowing up. And I looked. I said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then you saw it, you know, eventually
right,
the wind shifted.
Right.
But she used to travel with me because she would act as secretary. So we'd go and we would set up the auditions in advance, of course.
Right.
But once we picked out the areas or the schools we wanted to visit, then we would contact them, set up a time and a place, and then they'd provide space for us. And we would go and we'd fly in to say, like we flew into Chicago. We'd do the audition. The next day we'd get up, go down to the airport, fly into the next place, have an audition that night. You know, I had a choreographer, a vocal coach, an instrumental person, my wife, myself, sometimes an additional person. Once they're here, you know, I had to get them housing, you know, so that they had places to stay. And once they were here, then it was just quality control, basically. You know, and I'd be there every day and watch the shows, you know, at least one show.
Yeah.
Because like anybody, people tend to, after a while, you know, the sharpness wears off.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
And you can't do that. And we only had 12 weeks, so it had to stay that way every day, every show.
Yeah.
So I used to show my face. I don't know if it did any good because all of those people were very talented and, you know, yeah. they were excellent performers. We were lucky, you know, because we got good people. the college band would come and do shows in different. They'd do a show right out here in front of the castle. They do a show in front of near the ship.
Okay.
Near the ship.
The Archway, yeah.
In that,
yeah.
But on the on the.
Okay.
But the way I set it up from in the morning until noon, from 9 till noon, we had classes. I had like the vice president from ABC come out, CBS. The guy who wrote, he was the editor of Variety magazine. We had people from, you know, to come and talk to them about the business. These are the things that happen, you know, in the business, the real life. Every day we had lectures like that. And that was a challenge because I had to find the right people who are willing to do it for the kind of money we were able to pay.
Oh, really?
it was different, but it was a great experience. It was a great learning experience for me because from that I went and I went to teach college and I started a show group at the college, and it was very much like we did here. And I had a band, and I had singers and dancers, and we did shows at the college, and then we traveled. We went to, all over the country, really. We went to Hawaii, went to New York, and, you know, just places where we could do shows and show what we had. And we were chosen, our college, the College of the Desert, my group was chosen to do a show in Dallas, Texas. They had a convention of all of the presidents of all the junior colleges around the country, and they only wanted one group. So they just had us, everybody sent in a tape, and we sent in our tape, and we got chosen. So we went there and we did a show for them there. So it was fun. And, I mean, you know, I have had a fantastic experience. All the things I've done, you know, are I have no regrets about almost anything. You know, I love what I'm doing now. I look back and I've done a lot of stuff, but it's all been fun.
We hope you've enjoyed this Mouse Clubhouse conversation. Thank you for joining us.